Shall we pray together before we do anything else? Our Father, it is a wonderful joy and a blessing of the Christian life to know that your grace is sufficient for us and your power is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, I do pray that as we think more about weakness and as we think more about our accessibility ministry here at All Saints, Lord, would you stir our hearts? Help us to seek to be welcoming and kind to outsiders, just as Jesus was. Amen. So this year at church, we have been thinking about weakness, haven't we? As we've just prayed, our verse for the year is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. We've had those weakness videos every month over the last 9 months. Think back to Sarah's hearing impairment and what it was like to grow up with hearing loss, or to Martin's life-changing stroke, or to Judy and her serving the Lord in the Congo with spina bifida. And actually, back in March, we had a Sunday where we thought through our accessibility ministry to people with disabilities. Now, we're going to continue that theme today as we look at this chapter from 2 Samuel chapter 9. And as we do so, I've got to start by asking you a question. Are you kind? Are you kind? I hope that doesn't sound like a wishy-washy kind of a question, but are you a kind person? Are we a kind church? Now, there are obviously people we find it very easy to be kind to, aren't there? Friends or family, maybe. Those who share our interests or our lives or our social groups. But there are also many people we find it much harder to be kind to. Now, we could sharpen the question in all sorts of ways, couldn't we? Are we kind to those we don't like? The annoying colleague or the grouchy next door neighbour? Are we kind to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering overseas? Are we kind to people who are in need? Or do we have a tendency to push such people out of sight and therefore out of mind? Are we kind to brothers and sisters in church who are feeling weak and needy? But in light of this last 9 months of weakness videos and thinking about our accessibility ministry, the question for us today is, are we kind and welcoming to those individuals with disabilities? You see, kindness isn't just a school ground rule, a value we promote to children. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the characteristics of the Christian that Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5. And as we come to today's passage, kindness is gloriously and clearly on display. Because David looks for a way to show kindness. Look down at verse 1 with me if you've got your Bibles in front of you. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David is actively looking around for someone he can show kindness to. Particularly someone from Saul's household. Saul was the former failed king of Israel. And it's striking because David isn't simply looking for not simply responding to an opportunity that has crossed his path. He's not simply loving someone or caring for someone who's crossed his path. He's actively seeking out opportunities to show kindness. He is proactive in finding someone to be kind to. And I'll be honest with you, that is a challenge for me. I don't think I'm bad at showing kindness to people I meet. But the idea of actively looking for someone to show kindness to, of waking up and being determined to find someone that day to bless, or praying in the morning, Lord, is there anyone I can show kindness to today? That's a challenge. I find that harder. But go back to our question at the beginning. Are we kind and welcoming to people with disabilities? As a church, are we kind and welcoming? Well, we're trying to be. We're seeking ways to be kind. If you've come along to the 10:45 or the 6:30 service recently, you'll know that we've introduced Makaton signing during all the songs at those two services. We've put money into buying resources to help kids with autism feel comfortable during kids' groups. We're going to put up widget symbols around the church to help people who need that aid navigate their way around the building. We've got accessible Bibles at the back of church for those with visual impairments or dyslexia. We've considered the needs of those people with physical disabilities as plans have been made for the reimagining the space at the back of church. And we're not perfect, and it's very early days, but we are trying to be proactive in making All Saints a welcoming and accessible place for people with disabilities. And notice the type of kindness David wants to show in verse 3. Look down with me. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" It's God's kindness. The Hebrew word there is chesed, which is often translated as either loving kindness or steadfast love. It's the kind of love and the kind of kindness which endures. Love without a seatbelt on. Love without limits. When Sarah and I have taught sessions on chesed to teenagers in the past, we've described it as loyal love which comes from God. Loyal love which comes from God. David is looking for someone to show steadfast, loving kindness to. And wonderfully, he finds someone. After a conversation with a former servant of Saul called Zeba, he is pointed in the direction of the most unlikely person. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. I got it right that time. I will get it wrong as we go through the rest of this. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan, and therefore the grandson of Saul, the former failed king. Most kings would not seek out opportunities to treat the old, deposed king's family kindly. So right off the bat, Mephibosheth is an unlikely person for David to show kindness to. But read on in verses 4 and then verse 13. Verse 4. Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." And then jumping ahead to verse 13. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. He is disabled. And not just temporarily, Mephibosheth is disabled for life. The passage starts by describing Mephibosheth as lame in both feet, and it ends with Mephibosheth being described as lame in both feet. And as a result of his disability, Mephibosheth would have found himself on the outside of Israelite society, a social outcast. And in fact, there are two clues in the text which confirm his lowly status in Israel. Firstly, when David first shows kindness to him, Mephibosheth says, What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? He considers himself no better than a dead dog. That's heartbreaking. And secondly, he's from a place called Lo Debar. Lo Debar literally means no pasture or no place or nowhere. The picture being painted of Mephibosheth is that he is a nobody from nowhere. He's a nobody from nowhere. And yet, David gives him property and possessions. He gives back to Mephibosheth all the land that had belonged to Saul. And David knows that Mephibosheth cannot look after and manage that property by himself. And so he appoints Ziba to manage the property so that Mephibosheth would be provided for the rest of his life, lasting love that comes from God. And then David invites Mephibosheth to eat at his table every day. He says it three times in this short passage. See, this isn't one-off kindness that David is showing. It's not trivial. It's not tokenism. It is lavish and generous and over the top and consistent and lasting and godly and loving. It is steadfast, loving kindness. He has given Mephibosheth a princely position. And it ultimately points us towards the kindness of Christ. See, Jesus shows kindness and compassion to outsiders. In Luke 14, Jesus tells us a parable about who will and who won't be part of the kingdom of God. In the parable, a man hosting a banquet sends out his servants to tell all the people that he's invited that the banquet is ready and they are to come along. But they all made excuses. So the man says to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." It's an incredible statement, isn't it? One of many in Luke where Jesus brings outsiders into the kingdom. Social outsiders, those disabled people that were shunned in that society and who are tragically often ignored or disregarded in ours, are invited to a banquet in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord for his kindness. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that many includes the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Jesus is kind and compassionate to those in society considered outsiders. Our King is a kind King. And so, as we seek to welcome and show kindness to those individuals with disabilities, we are reflecting our King's kindness. In reflection of our King's kindness, we will strive to make all saints accessible. In reflection of our King's kindness, we will be willing to put up with changes to the aesthetics of this building if widget symbols help those students from Grove Park come in and feel welcomed at this church. In reflection of our King's kindness, we will accept that there might be extra noise at some of the services as people with intellectual disabilities join us. In reflection of our King's kindness, we will rejoice if the accessible service we hope to introduce comes to fruition. In reflection of our King's kindness, we gladly set aside some of our budget to employ Sarah as our Minister for Accessibility and to support people with additional needs. Now, it's sad. In the ministry circles that Steve and Ben and Sarah and I and the others are part of, this conservative evangelical world, there is often concern amongst ministers for churches to be known as faithful churches or Bible-centered churches. And amen to that, right? Of course, I rejoice that that is true of All Saints, and I want that to continue. I want us to continue being faithful. And there's often a preoccupation in those circles about churches being busy churches or active churches. Well, again, amen. Praise the Lord that All Saints is active and busy. But you know, I rarely, if ever, hear anyone longing for their church to be known as a kind church. It's not on the agenda. And the tragic irony is that if striving after kindness isn't on the agenda, then our church won't be properly faithful to the Word of God. And if striving after kindness isn't on the agenda, then there's a real danger that we will be busy doing the wrong things. Brothers and sisters, I have a real deep yearning for All Saints to be known as a kind church. For Crowborough to think of All Saints as a kind church, and that as we welcome those people with disabilities, they, along with their families and friends, would see a reflection of and be pointed in the direction of our kind King. Why don't we pray together to end? Father, thank you so much that the Lord Jesus Christ is a kind King. Thank you that you poured out your grace and your mercy and your kindness on us, sinners who are saved by Jesus. Thank you that the kingdom of God is for outsiders, for those society often overlooks and disregards. Father, please would you help us to be a church which reflects your kindness. Help us to be kind to people with disabilities. Help us to work hard and joyfully at making this church a place where people with additional needs can come and feel welcomed and find out the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all this for the sake of others and for the glory of your name. Amen.